TikTok,
that's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in. 500,000 Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000. Over 1 million Lagosians, they know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you two, going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, May 23rd. That's when the Nigeria Railway Corporation is resuming Abuja-Kaduna service. Trains have not run on that line ever since the terrorists attacked a train and took hostages. Which brings me to our second hard fact of the day. 50 days. The hostages from the Abuja-Kaduna rail attack have been in captivity for 50 days. I've got a third hard fact for you. 30 to 40% of Nigerians are living with high blood pressure. That's according to Dr. Kingsley Akinruye, Executive Director of the Nigerian Heart Foundation. I'm talking about this because today is World Hypertension Day. While this statistic is scary, Lagos, what is even scarier is only one third of those Nigerians are receiving treatment for high blood pressure, for hypertension. So, for example, what that means is that out of the 1 million Lagosians who are listening to me right now, 300,000 to 400,000 are living with hypertension, but only about 100,000 are getting treatment. I beg, Ejo, Biko. Hypertension is a serious problem. We all go through stress every day. You live in Lagos, you're living in stress. You're facing the Lagos traffic. You're facing the economic situation. You're worried about security. You're also eating a lot of salt. A lot. So please do yourself a favor. Get your blood pressure checked. In a lot of pharmacies, you can even do it for free. Get it checked. That's it. That single act of checking your blood pressure, it could save your life. Go check within your blood pressure be. Go check them. For some pharmacies, not free. E check, yeah, yeah. That single act, 9 feet save your life. And it doesn't matter how young you are, because we have people who have high blood pressure in their 20s. It's very rare, but you even have teenagers who have high blood pressure. So check your blood pressure. As long as you are 18 and you are living and trying to make it in this life, be cool. Check here your blood pressure. Do it for me. I always say 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. So please don't be wrong about your blood pressure. Thank you for tuning in to Hard Facts. I have a great show for you. We'll start with the big three. Let's talk about charges in the murder of Deborah Samuel, but not murder charges. Then let's talk about Lagos State Task Force cracking down on Okada riders in Lekki. And then let's talk about the EFCC arresting the Accountant General of the Federation. At 4 p.m. today, we're going to have another debate in the I Beg to Differ quarterfinals. It's going to be a face-off between Kolade Stephen Afolabi and Awesome Ekemini Usen. They're going to be debating that long years in public service make a candidate better suited for elective office. So Kolade Stephen Afolabi versus Ekemini Awesome Usen, 4 p.m. today. Don't miss it. Remember to tell someone to tell someone else and remind them once it's 4 o'clock. Set your own reminder as well. On the big hard fact, let's talk about the road to 2023. Why are political parties pressuring INEC to shift the deadline for the primaries? Oh, yes. That conversation will start at 5. Don't miss it. As usual, we'll have news updates at the top of every hour. But let's get started with today's big three. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili Lagos. These are your hard facts.
This is the big three. The big three. On the hard facts. On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Why when want the Deborah Samuel suspects charged with murder. How should Lagos State regulate and monitor Okada? Do corruption charges actually scare public officials? Those are today's big three, Lagos. Let's talk. Two suspects have appeared in court in the case of Deborah Samuel's lynching. That's our first story. The police arraigned Bilyaminu Aliyu and Aminu Hukunshi in court yesterday. Both suspects were Deborah's coursemates. They pled not guilty. But to what did they plead not guilty? That's the big controversy right now. Most news outlets are refusing to say, but Ebunwolu Adegborua is saying that it wasn't a murder charge. Adegborua is a human rights lawyer. He's claiming that the two suspects were instead charged with criminal conspiracy and inciting public disturbance. And Adegborua says that this is unacceptable. He said, quote, the criminal charges, criminal conspiracy and inciting public disturbance as framed by the Sokoto state government against hardened murderers is an insult to the sensibilities of the parents of the deceased, the people of Nigeria and God who created Deborah. This crime took place in an enlightened environment in a higher institution under the watch of security men who were said to have been overpowered. It all started from a WhatsApp group which has identified leaders. There are students who sent messages and threats of death on that platform. Their phone numbers are registered with NIN identification. They belong to a class in the school, so they are known individuals. Images of persons who openly and boastfully confessed of partaking in the murder abound, with one displaying the matchstick with which the deceased was set ablaze. The government of Sokoto State has, by these charges, shown itself complicit in this whole drama, and it is most unfortunate. For a state that is headed by a lawyer, a former Speaker of the House of Representatives, and who's aspiring to rule Nigeria as its president, it is most uncharitable of His Excellency to have condoned this baseless charge. It is better to set the suspects free rather than claim to try them. End quote. Those are the words of Adegborua Ebunwolu. He's a human rights lawyer. He's saying there that there's no excuse for charging the suspects with anything less than murder. He's also saying that there's no excuse for identifying and rounding up, for not identifying and rounding up all the ringleaders and instigators. Speaking of which, the Sokoto State Police Command is asking the public for help tracking down other suspects seen in the viral video of the lynching. The police has declared them wanted. But back to Adegborua, what do you think about his accusation that Governor Tambuwal and the other authorities are letting politics get in the way of justice? Meanwhile, condemnations of the lynching keep coming in. Professor Ibrahim Abikang is the president of the Muslim Lawyers Association of Nigeria. And he said, quote, her killing is the worst barbaric act that can be carried out by any set of people in the country. It is barbaric and un-Islamic. It is against the tenets of the teachings of any religion in the world. I can categorically state that it is not an Islamic act and there must be justice for the victim killed. I'm saying this not just as a lecturer and lawyer, but as the president of the Muslim Lawyers Association of Nigeria, that we condemn the act and we are against those who perpetrated it, end quote. We've also gotten condemnations from the Sultan of Sokoto and Abdullahi Sule, the governor of Nasarawa State. But will the reactions go beyond condemnation to actual justice for Deborah Samuel? Will her killers be tried for murder? Yes, sure, her parents have said, we're going to leave it in the hands of God. We're not going to try to get justice. But the state still has to come in because a crime has been committed. The crime was murder. Will her killers be tried for murder? What do you think about the Adegborua of the police and the Sokoto state government? Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. Like tomorrow, I'm going to give you 1 minute. Everybody gets 1 minute. So make your point as quickly as possible. You have just 1 minute. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, it's Ikechukwu.
Welcome, you've got 1 minute.
It's the
Kwara Gimma.
Auntie, I support Adeboruwa with my life. You see that one, what the federal government they talk, eh? They cannot try our sensibility. See, there must be justice for that girl by them arresting and as in carrying them to go court to know say Nigerians are following the law. Are you hearing me?
Okay.
I condemn the stoning of that girl and those people that are saying that as they stone them, no good. Yes, may God bless them too. May God bless them. Concerning people who are lost, who they support the killing, and see, I know what to talk. If I open my mouth to this other Chukwu Abadoa, thank you very much.
All right, I haven't seen anyone yet who has supported what happened to Deborah. None of the people who are running for office have supported what happened to Deborah. 99.3, hello.
Hi, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
This is Remy.
Remy, welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. You've got 1 minute.
The saddest part, like I told Joyce yesterday, the death of Deborah is going to be a mere start. I'm not trying to be a pessimist, but going by the antecedents, we have precedents now, from Gideon Akalika down to Deborah that happened just recently. And you could tell this is what they preach in mosque. There are videos now, Sandra. Even if any one of them comes out to condemn it, are they doing that in their mosque?
But the thing is, here's the thing. You have pastors who preach the wrong message. The same way you have imams who preach the wrong message.
I've
read some parts of the Quran myself, and I've listened to some scholars. We've had scholars on this station, and they've all said that what happened to Deborah is un-Islamic. There's no part of the Quran that tells them to do what they did. So it's the same way you have preachers in Christianity who twist what's in the Bible. That's the same way you have Muslim clerics who also twist that.
If you have prominent people like the son-in-law of Dangote, Bashir Ahmad, professor, a national...
You have prominent people who heard that they should bathe with salt water and eat bitter cola to chase away...
We are talking about to chase someone's away. Life, yeah.
I know, I but there of, are... But,
you can't compare
but
there are, someone's life,
no.
Now.
I'm saying to you...
You can't belittle it, you can't...
I'm not belittling it. I'm saying to you that people often say ridiculous things because they misunderstand their religion.
This has... Okay, bathing with salt water... Does that have, does concern goes against that?
To cure Ebola and
it's
not unconstitutional, but it was a messaging from a pulpit, and it was messaging that was dangerous for public health.
I don't think the comparison is kind of... We can't
it's
compare that.
It's human life, isn't it?
Joyce,
there were people who were overdosing on salt water. And in any case, your 1 minute is cuckoo up. Thank you very much for calling. My point is, this is not a religious conversation. Because if you want to make it a religious conversation, I have a lot of points to rebut you. You know what I mean? This is a legal conversation here, which is why I brought you a legal luminary's thoughts on the subject. Right? So yes, you can say, oh yes, they can come out and condemn it, but they have Shah come out to condemn it. You can also say, oh, they're preaching in their mosques. People are also preaching in churches all kinds of dangerous things. As far as human beings and religion mixes, you will have people who twist what is written in the books that adherents of that religion call holy. It's just the way it is. But are there people coming out to condemn it? Even preachers of Islam, clerics in Muslim clerics, have come forward and condemned this. So why are we looking at one and not the other, or focusing on one and not the other, and forgetting the part where a crime has been committed and legal proceedings to prosecute that crime have begun? What do we think about the law part, the legal part of this? Kevin is in Surulere. Hi, Kevin.
Yes, Sandra, I agree with you. those that took the planes to hit the World Trade Center, it was they were brainwashed. They used religion to do that, commit that crime. People have hide on that religion to do a lot of atrocities. It does not make it right. Hmm. But having said that, I asked this morning when Sheriff read this story out about the lawyers that were representing our daughter that died.
Hmm.
You know, I was not bothered about the numbers of the lawyers they were hired. I asked what was the charges, because I've read in the news that they were not charged for murder.
Hmm.
So I was more concerned about the charges.
Hmm.
It just reminds me, just like I told Sheriff in the morning, of the movie I watched so many years ago, Al Pacino, Scarface, where a man was caught with drugs. At the end of the day, he was charged for tax evasion.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a sad one. I don't know what has happened. I thank God that our Lagos lawyer has spoken out. I think people should listen to Voice of Reason. It's most unfortunate. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kevin. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Good afternoon, Sandra. It's Paul from Egbeda.
Paul from Egbeda, welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sandra, you see, I think the second speaker mentioned something. There was a guy that was beheaded, Aloka, and nothing came out of it. That is where this one will end. The legal aspect of it, in fact, I'm just hearing it from hard facts now, that they were charged for conspiracy, not murder. Can this be done in any country of the world, including our neighboring countries here? A Nigerian citizen was murdered and set ablaze, and the charge is conspiracy. I think somebody must be joking. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I love that everyone is keeping to the 1 minute time. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name, sir?
I've been trying. Sandra. Hello?
I'm here. Welcome. Go ahead.
My name is Joshua. I'm calling you from Agbado.
Welcome, Joshua. Welcome. Go ahead.
Sandra.
Yes.
Can they divide this country?
No, they cannot divide this country. Thank you for calling us. 99.3. Hello. Hello. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Let's go to Facebook and see the comments that we have there. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. Nigeria Info 99.3. You can also share your thoughts on the live stream on YouTube. YouTube is Nigeria Info FM. We've got comments here. My God. The Sultan condemning the murder and other Islamic clerics, especially from the North, is being reactive. They should be proactive by sensitizing their followers. Jamie Adams says, Christians from the North should be very careful. Bilatus Ibrahim is asking a question I'm not sure I have the answer to, but I guess thanks for asking. We've got a message here from Akitunde Oluwadara, who says, okay, he's talking about our second story. Well, we're going to get to our second story in a bit. But I will say, before we take a break, I will say that if the Sultan of Sokoto has condemned the killing of Deborah, and the Sultan is considered the leader of Sunni Islam in Nigeria, and the Sultan has also called for the killers to be brought to justice, surely you can see that the right voices in Islam in Nigeria think that something unjust has happened here. So while it is fair to say that some Muslim clerics are preaching dangerous messages that incite crimes like this, it also has to be said that there are other voices, the most respectable voices in the religion, who are speaking against it. So I think maybe the more constructive question to be asked here is, what needs to happen to ensure that the voices of reason end up with more influence over public behavior? Another question that we can ask is, how do we get the courts to survey justice that deters other people from committing a crime like this? Because Ruben did make an important point about other victims of this same crime, and nothing was heard of it. if people continue to commit crimes like this and there's no consequence for this particular crime, and it is a crime, whether you lynch someone in Balogun or you lynch someone in Katsina, you've committed a crime. It's like Alex said yesterday, you cannot go to London and do this on the streets of London. You can't do it because you know that there are consequences for that action. So as long as there are no consequences, we may come back here over and over and over again. So another question has to be, well, how do we ensure that there are consequences for actions like this? For this particular one, how do we ensure that there's a consequence? And that the consequences are legal consequences. I am Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll take a break. When we come back, let me tell you what the Lagos State Government is doing to Okadas in Lekki. Don't go away.
More talk, news and sports after this.
Many people are in business, but not everyone means business. The people who mean business never say no to money, cash, card, or transfer. These ones grab business opportunities with their full chest. Keep an eye on things that matter, like people, cash flow, and how it all adds up. They do not only know their onions, they know their numbers. They mean business. With Number, you mean business. Visit www.number.com, that is NOMBA, number.com, to get started.
On August 15th, 2021, it was a movement never heard on radio.
The new season is here. We are fired up to bring the frenzy right next to you. Live commentary, games, things to be won, fun, music. Are you ready? We're coming.
We kept our words, transversing the Lagos metropolis. All to bring you 38 bars.
It's called 38 bars for a reason, because there are 38 match weeks, and it means every single week we will be out somewhere.
After 281 days, it's now down to this, the 38th game of the season on May 22nd, 2022. Join Femi and the gang for our final coverage of 38 bars. Live at Ken's Bar, number 1, Golf Course Estate Road, Lakoe, Lagos Egbe Expressway, time 3 p.m. 38 bars with Femi and the gang, where football meets lifestyle.
Plenty people they do business, but not be everybody mean business. The people who mean business, they know they ever say no to money, cash, card, or even transfer. This time once, any business opportunity, then they grab up with the full chest. And then they chuck eye only on top of this way make sense. Like the people, cash flow, and how every other thing take the complete. Not be say them only know what thing that they do. They know their numbers and they mean business. With Number, you mean business. Enter our website, will be www.number.com to take it for start.
Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest football fan festival in Nigeria is back. It's Bowl Fest 2022. Featuring exhilarating games, food, comedy, live music by some of the best Nigerian music superstars. And you can watch the UEFA Champions League finals on a super huge screen. Goal Fest 2022 will take place on the 28th of May 2022 at the Balmoral Convention Center, Federal Palace Hotel, Amadu Bello Way, VI Lagos. Time 12 noon. Hurry now.
Limited tickets available.
Get your free tickets now at www.goalfestnigeria.com. Goal Fest 2022 is powered by Football Republic and refreshed by Pepsi.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. It's 3:30 and the Lagos State Government's task force cracked down on Okadas in Lekki yesterday. That's our second story. This is the Big Three on Hard Facts. On the Big Three, we bring you three of the biggest stories of the day so that you know very, very quickly what everyone's talking about as you wrap up your day. The crackdown that I'm talking about from the Lagos State Government came in the aftermath of the gruesome murder of David E. Moore, a sound engineer, last week. A group of motorcyclists allegedly killed E. Moore during a dispute over 100 naira change. We heard from his widow, Grace. She says eyewitnesses told her that her husband was not even the passenger that the bike men were quarreling with. He had simply stepped in to try to separate the quarrel and resolve the dispute. But back to the task force. They conducted a raid in Lekki yesterday, and after the raid, they put out a statement through Badeyon Abdurrahim, their director of press and public affairs. I'm going to read you some excerpts of the statement from the statement. It starts, quote, following the gruesome murder of a sound engineer, David E. Moore, by some commercial motorcyclists popularly known as Okada at the Lekki axis of Lagos, the chairman of the Lagos State Task Force, CSP Shola Jejeloye, led a team of officers and men to the axis to carry out a raid on commercial motorcyclists operating illegally in that area. The operation, which lasted for about 4 hours, began in the early hours of today, leaving 10 Okada operators arrested, and also led to the seizure of 123 bikes plying the Lekki Expressway, Lekki Phase 1 Axis, Admiralty Way, and its environs for operating on restricted routes and constituting nuisance in the state, end quote. The statement also directly quotes the task force chairman, CSP Shola Jejeloye. Jejeloye said that most Okada riders in Lagos are non-Nigerians, and that this means that they have no stake or interest in preserving public peace and in order, public peace and order in the state. And that's a very strong, very interesting assertion. And it raises a lot to think about, because if CSP Jejeloye is correct, then that means that the problem is not the presence of Okadas themselves. The problem is who is riding these Okadas, right? And I don't know about you, but for me, that raises a bunch of questions. First question, if the problem is the Okada riders themselves, then does a partial ban in only some parts of Lagos make sense? After all, if you ban Okada in Lekki because the riders are allegedly foreign criminals, won't those same foreign criminals take their bikes to Ikorodu or Anthony or some other place and just operate there? Secondly, if the problem is the Okada riders themselves, does banning Okada as a means of transport solve the problem? Because I'm assuming that even if you ban Okadas across the entire Lagos today, those foreign criminals who were working as Okada riders yesterday won't just vanish into thin air. They'll still be here. They'll just start doing other jobs, right? So by banning Okadas, are we not just depriving Lagosians of a mode of transport without alternatives to solve an identification problem? Because it sounds to me, based on what the task force chairman is saying, that the real problem is that Lagos State is struggling to verify the identities of Okada riders. So the question is there no way to do this? Is there no way for the Lagos State government, working with stakeholders like the Okada unions, for example, to ensure that there's a way to identify and track every properly licensed Okada man in the state? Because they're getting taxed, right? They're receiving all different kinds of levies, right? So surely there has to be a way to identify all of them. After all, Danfo drivers are identified. Yellow cab drivers are identified. Even ride-hailing drivers now have to register. So are we saying that those same systems simply cannot be applied to Okada riders? And if so, why not? Before the ban, we had private bike hailing services here in Lagos. The three most popular ones were Gokada, Max.ng, and O-Ride. And one of the things those services were able to do was verify the identities of all their riders and those riders' guarantors. It was part of their security measures. So basically, those services were more security conscious than the freelance Okadas, but they got banned and they left the streets. But as we're hearing, the freelance Okadas are still operating, even in restricted areas. So what I'm also asking is, did the Lagos State Government make an error by banning the bike hailing services? Were those services solving the bike security and identity problem that Lagos State Government is currently still battling with? Should the government have maybe worked with them instead? If you're watching our live stream, I'm showing you a picture of the raid on the Okadas. What do you think about it? Do you agree with the task force chairman that most Okada riders are non-Nigerians? And if the problem is the identity and origin of Okada riders, should Okada be banned or should government simply try to strengthen its mechanisms for tracking the identities of the riders? Because me, if I travel abroad and I can't find work, I go ride Okada. But depending on the country, they would definitely know who I be, where I from come, if I get licensed to ride the Okada. Because being a non-Nigerian is not an issue. People travel all over the world looking for work. Are they properly documented? Do you have their names, their residences, their guarantors? Can you get it? Is the issue their identity and origin, or is it the Okada that they are riding? 01465-7190-0700-993-993-993. Hello, thank you for calling us.
Well, next time you call, I will give 2001. Hello.
Ah, who you dey give something? Give me.
Hello,
now.
Hello, Sandra.
Who you dey give something? Give me, give me, give me.
I'm very sorry.
Give me joy, give me joy.
How are you today?
I'm very well. Welcome. What's your name?
Yeah, you see, Sandra, number one. Can I talk about Sokoto matter?
Yes, but you have 1 minute, so good luck.
As I'm talking to you, I'm a default Muslim. A Muslim leader, for that matter.
Okay.
No, we are the only brand that says you should kill anybody pertaining to blasphemy. So what is the... And those that is caught in Sokoto, they supposed to remove that case from magistrate court to high court. High court will treat the matter. It should be criminal murder case, not ordinary... Starting this or that. No, it should be, they should charge them. The good lawyers should represent that lady. What we want is the hello?
Yes, I'm here.
What we want is it should be criminal cases. And for the Okada you are talking about, that's the law in Lagos State. That you see Okada should go to the street. Expressway where you see Okada to the freeway, and it's not supposed to be. When you have a law, you make a law. Enforcement is the key.
All right, thank you for calling us. Ben is in Ijegun. Hi Ben. Ben, are you there?
Yes.
All right, Ben, go ahead.
Yeah. I said that from Ijegun. I want to talk about this Okada issue.
Yes, go ahead.
You know, last year, I was very good as a visa arrival to Nigeria, and that has been up to many countries, many countries.
Your line is not very clear. I don't know what's happening there. Your line is not very clear. Maybe call us back. 99.3, hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Sandra. How are you?
Please,
what's your name?
The issue of this... Okada. Those coming from outside Nigeria look like the Hausas. The Hausas look like them. They are the major people who commit and run. You can't get them. The Lagos State Government was talking about putting transport, minibuses, at different locations. I think that will serve us. Let me tell you, until there's crisis, you will know the number of Okada, non-indigenous, non-nationals, riding Okada here in Lagos in particular. You can't identify them. We are not safe. They are the ones that gather and kill and go, and nothing happens. Good afternoon.
All right, good afternoon. But again, is the problem that the Okada people are non-Nigerians, or is the problem that we need to find a way to identify them? Should Okadas be banned, or should government simply strengthen its mechanisms for tracking the identities of the riders? I'll let you think about that for a bit. I've got information to share with you.
Yes, I do. I'm super excited about GoFest 2022 because it's coming with a whole lot of fun. We're talking about exciting games, food, of course, my fave, comedy, live music by some of the best of Nigerian music superstars, and of course, the best part of it all, you get to watch the UEFA Champions League finals on a super huge screen. So for all my football lovers, this is a complete package of football, entertainment, comedy, and of course socialization. Now, limited tickets are available. If you don't know, these tickets are free of charge. Now, if you want to register to get your tickets, all you have to do is go to GoFest's website, that is www.gofestnigeria.com. That is www.gofestnigeria.com. Remember, GoFest 2022 is powered by Football Republic and proudly refreshed by Pepsi.
All right, thank you very much. Let's keep talking. 99.3, hello.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
Yeah, Alaba is my name.
Alaba, welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sandra, very quickly. What happened in Sokoto? I know majority of us were Muslims.
Alaba, your line is not clear. Call us back if you can. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
This is John calling. I want to talk about the Okada issue.
Okay.
It's true that, let's say, maybe 70% of those who are driving Okada in this Lagos state, they are strangers.
Okay.
But I blame the government for it.
Okay.
Why can't Okada be registered? There are people buying those Okada for those people and bringing them to Lagos and bringing those people that will ride it. So if they begin to have, they begin to register them, they will locate them easily. And you will see this Okada it will not be much in Lagos again. So how can people be living in Lagos? They don't have a house. Most of them sleep outside. Why? In city like this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Joy, for calling. Homelessness is a problem globally. You have people sleeping in the streets in all the big cities in the world, Paris, Milan, London, the UK. Sorry, not the UK. I say London, the UK. New York, that's what I was thinking about. Most of the big cities in the world, people sleep outside because people go to these big cities to look for brighter opportunities, bigger opportunities, better opportunities. And they often cannot afford those cities because those cities are really expensive, you know. And as soon as you can't afford accommodation, you start sleeping on the streets. It's actually a failure of government. It's a failure of government in those parts of the world and in Nigeria as well. But that's a conversation for a different day. Let's talk about the EFCC and the Accountant General. The EFCC has arrested the Accountant General of the Federation. Have you heard that story? It's our third story. The agency put out a statement about the arrest of Ahmed Idris. It says, quote, operatives of the EFCC on Monday, May 16, 2022, arrested the serving Accountant General of the Federation, Mr. Ahmed Idris, in connection with diversion of funds and money laundering activities to the tune of 80 billion naira. The Commission's verified intelligence showed that the AGF raked off the funds through bogus consultancies and other illegal activities using proxies, family members, and close associates. The funds were laundered through real estate investments in Kano and Abuja. Mr. Idris was arrested after failing to honor invitations by the EFCC to respond to issues connected to the fraudulent acts. End quote. When I told my husband about this story last night, he laughed and he said that this should not even be news. He joked that, in his opinion, every accountant general should be considered a suspect and just kept behind bars until we can find the money that they've hidden. They were I laughed when he said it. And it's interesting because this year alone, two state accountants general, have already gotten into EFCC wahala. You remember, at the end of February, they arrested the Oyo accountant general, Gafar Bello. He was arrested, interrogated, and eventually released. And earlier this month, EFCC declared his Rivers counterpart wanted. That's Fubara Siminai. He's accused of defrauding the state 117 billion naira. But back to Ahmed Idris, the accountant general of the Federation, who is now in a cell. It's not the first time that he's been involved in controversy. Last November, during budget defense for his office, he told the National Assembly that they needed 36 million naira to fight snakes and antelopes that were disturbing them. He also told the Senate that his office is not accountable to them about what money goes in and out of the government accounts. That's an interesting position, isn't it? Regarding the National Assembly, who actually hold the power of the purse. Now, I'm telling you about all these different episodes to paint a picture because I want to know if you think that Nigerian office holders are actually scared of the EFCC. Do you think they are afraid of EFCC? Do they see the arrest by the EFCC as something so scary that they should do their best to avoid it? Or do you think that they see it as just the cost of doing business? No worry, you go enter, you go come out. Speaking of the EFCC, the police have promoted Ibrahim Magu to AIG. Magu was the acting EFCC chairman for a long time. You remember him, in spite of the fact that the Senate rejected him based on security reports from the SSS. After that, the Attorney General, Ibrahim Malami, launched an investigation into Magu over alleged diversion of seized property. Magu was detained, interrogated, suspended. A panel of inquiry was formed. The panel submitted its findings, but they were not made public. And now, a couple of years later, Magu has been promoted ahead of his retirement. So when you see the ending of the Magu saga, what message do you think it sends to public servants? On I Beg to Differ in the round of 16, we had a debate about presidential and gubernatorial pardons. We chose that topic because of the pardons of Jolly Nyame and Joshua Darie. Remember when we covered that on Hard Facts? It was in the news for quite a bit. These are two of a very, very, very small number of governors who have been convicted of corruption in the Fourth Republic. The question is, did those pardons send a message to other governors? I like to give you so many things to talk about so that you can attack the topic from whatever angle you prefer. So talk to me, Lagos. What do you think about the Accountant General's arrest? Do you think that public officials fear the EFCC? Do they fear the consequences of corruption? Maybe this should be a debate topic. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, hello. Sandra.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Alex.
Alex, I've been told you're calling the line for women, so I have to hang up. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
Hello.
Hello, how are you, sir?
Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
My name is Esenobang Dominic.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Yes. I want to tell you that EFCC are not fighting corruption.
Okay.
Nobody is afraid of EFCC. You see, how many people EFCC have jailed? Even the ones that they gone to jail are coming back to stand for election. Some come back to be in the Senate. So nobody is afraid of EFCC. EFCC is trying to take some of the money and later you will let them go. I raise my case. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. That's an litigation he can't prove, but thanks for calling. Joy Forever on Twitter says, just saw the task force collecting Okadas around Igwefor now. Most don't have numbers, but hope it will be sustained. It's unfortunate. In Kano, you can't find Okada. Unfortunate about Dave. Security is key. In Ilukweju, Okada is not banned. We've got Obinna Gwegbo who's calling us. Obinna, where are you calling us from?
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Where are you calling from?
Okay, I'm calling from Canada.
Welcome.
Winnipeg, in Canada.
Go ahead.
How are you, Sandra?
I'm okay.
All right, no, so quick one. My concern is this, right? We can't go anywhere with the way we're going in Nigeria, unfortunately, because we don't have any database.
Okay.
That's the bedrock of anything we're doing. There are people living in Lagos and they are so undocumented. You can't just... Arresting Okada is one thing. Because the question is, are the people willing to go through the pain of getting rid of Okada in Lagos? Because the funny thing is, you know, you send Okada away today, people complain, how do we move? My dear, we just have to pay the price one way or the other for our own sanity. It's unfortunate. Do you know for every Nepal pole you meet in Lagos, there's a cluster of these guys. You just don't know where they come from. You can enter a bike from your junction for one whole month and not repeat a bike, man. That's to show you the number we have. So it's something that we need to ask ourselves. Are we ready to pay the price? If yes, then let's get rid of them.
All right. Thank you for calling, Mr. Gwegbo. Remember, everybody gets 1 minute, even if you're calling from Canada. We've got Imafidan Joseph, who says, the authorities in Sokoto will not charge these people for murder. We've got a comment here that says, government is somehow able to know which unmarked car is a ride-hailing car and force the drivers to register with last three. How come when it comes to motorcycles, it's suddenly impossible? All right, thanks for your comment. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Good afternoon, Nigeria Info.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Great, Sandra. I'm Mama, grandmother.
Grandma, welcome.
Yes,
How are you?
Yeah, well done.
Thank you. Go ahead.
May God continue to increase you.
Thank you.
You are doing marvelously well.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I am personally proud of you.
Thank you, Mama.
Well done, dear. God bless you.
Thank you.
Now, let me tell you, this grandma has been wounded by Okada twice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My two shoulders have been dislocated by Okada.
I'm sorry.
I was standing on my own. I wasn't in any contact with them. I looked to my left, to my right. Looking to my left again, the Okada that was not there before was just on my body.
Whoa.
I didn't know where it came from.
Whoa.
I was still where I was standing. That's the plight we suffer in Lagos. There's no area you can move freely. You can't walk freely on the road. If you are looking to your right, before you turn your left here, they are there. You look to the front, they're in front of you. You are someone is hitting you from the back. You are right in front of that person and he's hitting you. I don't know what to ascribe to it other than illiteracy. Nobody challenges them. Nobody gives them license. Nobody trains them on how to run the ride the Okada. Nobody gives them home training. There's nothing they know. And when you say, hey, before you say, hey, they say, what happened? What happened? That is in English and they understand. That's the only English they can speak. What happened?
Grandma, thank you so much for calling. Ebi Amber says, 80 billion naira? That is grand theft. Truly, pen robbery is worse than armed robbery. The Accountant General of the Federation must be heartless, a pen bandit and a pen terrorist, if it is true that he stole that much from our national treasury. Haba! In this same Nigeria, where people are dying of hunger, where avoidable impoverishment is the order of the day, Ebi Amber on Facebook. CJ is in Ogun State. Hi, CJ.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You've got 30 seconds.
Okay. Yes, quick one. You see, for the Deborah's date, it is one of the worst things to befall a living being. Do you know that even in the Christendom, there are some pastors that will even tell their members that somebody who do not want you to live, pray that person will die.
That's
and
right.
They will say, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, but they do not go to the extent of killing. You see, this ideology over the years is common in the Arab world. But, Sandra, I want to ask, this issue of blaspheme, I want to have a cohesive definition of what is blaspheme. Is it enshrined in our constitution?
All right. Thank you very much. Let's leave it at that. We have to take a break. But when we come back, we'll bring you I Beg to Differ. I Beg to Differ is always great because everybody can calm down.
Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest football fan festival.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria